Yeah, and that's another aspect of it is that you know, the Vinaya is only about actions of body and speech. There isn't anything about mental states, you know, at all. I mean, it's because that's again, you can't, we all know how much our minds are out of control. So if you've got a rule about not thinking something, then you're not feeling a particular way. I mean, it's just you can imagine what it do. Just really screw people up.
So can you talk a little bit about the different methods that the Sangha uses, that the Vinaya provides for having the monks keep rules? Like, is there any punishment, or how does that work?
Well, there's not. I mean, generally it's not a punitive system. You know, in the same way that you can't mandate people to be good, you can't beat them into submission either. So, and that's not the you know, once you've got a certain standard, a comprehensive standard like the like the Vinaya, which you volunteer to take on, so and particularly the way Ajahn Chah and good monasteries tend to do it, that there is a period of training ahead of time, so that you actually know what you're getting yourself in for, and so that you can make that commitment yourself to live in that way. And if people don't really have either the discipline or the inclination to follow those standards, oftentimes they'll just either not make the commitment, or they'll try it out for a little while and they'll disappear, or they'll, you know, they just find themselves either uncomfortable within themselves or at odds with others because their kind of commitment to keeping standards of conduct and standards of training behavior are quite different from the standards that are upheld in the Vinaya and by the community. So it's kind of a self-selecting system, and on a certain that's quite beautiful, because again, you can't really make people live by these rules. I mean, it's a life of renunciation. It's a life of simplicity and kind of composure and restraint that is really not. It's so different than the world, so yeah, you really want to have to do it yourself. and then, of course, as a monastery, you want to be trying to encouraging people to be keeping the training, and by seeing the benefit of it, seeing the benefit of that restraint and that simplicity, seeing the usefulness and the function of it, so that one is kind of has some inspiration to do it, because you can't just force yourself out of, because it's a good idea, and even if it is a good idea, it's still, you can't sort of force yourself or push yourself to be doing it. But as you understand, take the time to understand, and the community itself, say the has to be living in a way that inspires people to keep the training, in the sense that, you know, if somebody comes in and to the community, and the community is they might be keeping all the rules, but they're bickering and fighting and kind of totally fear-ridden and tense, then that's not really a motivation for others to take it on. So that as one is using the training, that again, that's where Dhamma and Vinaya have to go together, so that the Vinaya is in support of that practice of Dhamma, so that there's, and Dhamma of you know, for restraint, for relinquishment, for peace, for knowledge, and as those things are gained or tasted or seen as a fruit, then the Vinaya also is, so it's a sensible thing to be doing.